Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
I want to welcome our viewing audience. We want to welcome our YouTubers. We want to welcome our Facebook Live audience. And we want to welcome our podcast family that's joining us for this segment. This is one of the particular topics that I really rather not talk about because, quite frankly, it stirs up a lot of emotion personally for me. It brings a lot of hurt to my heart. I'm grieved over what I'm seeing, but I'm also very, I don't know how to say this, but very angry to an extent on how I'm seeing alleged Christians responding and to the particular topic that I'm about to talk about. So if you're joining us for the broadcast today, we're talking about why are so many believers abandoning their faith? So we could talk about different subjects and topics on this, but I want to get to two individuals over the past month. One is Joshua Harris. This has been all over the news, especially Christian news. Of course, Christian news is really talking about this. Major Christian news outlets are talking about this, like the Christian Post, Charisma Magazine, and different ones like that. And then, of course, the recent Hillsong worship leader, Marty Sampson, who announced this past Friday on Instagram that he was, quote, genuinely losing his faith and that he was not upset about it. So we're going to talk about these two individuals. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to delve into the subject of why I believe, again, this is my personal perspective, this view of what I'm seeing across the board and what could be some of the reasons. Now, if this is your first time joining us via by Facebook, please let us know below that this is your first time. We want to welcome you. Let us know, say I'm new or this is my first time, and we acknowledge that. You guys on podcasts, again, we welcome you, and we pray that this segment, this ministry, and these podcasts are a blessing to you, and you'll continue to join us on daily. Almost daily, guys, we're uploading new content on our podcast on our main website. We're on Apple and we're on Android as well, Spotify, iTunes. So we're all over now. So we're getting the message out there, not just video wise, but also the voice of End Time Headlines is going out there. So let's go to Matthew 24 before we get into these topics. Matthew 24, it's interesting that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, well, actually not one, but several of these signs that I believe are relevant to the topic and the context in which we're talking about tonight. And that's in Matthew 24. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 10 through 13, this is what he said. And referring to the time of the end or one of the, or the signs of the coming of the Lord. He says, and then shall many be offended and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And again, I want to bring out some Greek words here that really bring out the understanding of this. First of all, the Lord says that many shall be offended. The word is scandalon. And it's a deep level of offense. It's an offense, a level of offense that will affect believers to the point where, again, they are abandoning their faith. They're leaving what they adhere to, what they hold fast to, what they hold as truth. They are departing the faith. And I believe we're there. I believe that offense is running rampant in the body of Christ in this hour. I believe what is happening in the political arena is bleeding over into the church, into the body of Christ. What do I mean by that? Let me elaborate. When you turn on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, CNBC, it doesn't matter, any mainstream media outlet. You turn on podcasts, political blogs. You turn on any of these streams, and in the rhetoric that you hear, the anger that you hear, the resentment that you hear, the bitterness that you hear, the hatred that you hear, the offense that you hear coming from Republicans, coming from Democrats, coming from the left, coming from the right, coming from this group and coming from that group. And it's just nonstop, all day long, attacks, verbal assaults, and it just goes on and on and on. Now, as the body of Christ, we look at this and we say, well, that's the world. The world is acting like this. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. As a ministry that now has nearly 500,000 followers on Facebook alone, when we go under the comments and under the threads, when we see the comments under the threads and the posts that we post and we share on Facebook, on our Facebook page at End Time Headlines, you can see, again, the same spirit of offense that's taking grip, taking hold, and taking a stronghold in the political arena. It's now bled over into the body of Christ. And I'll elaborate more on that in just a second. But as a result of this, our words, our speech, our rhetoric, as a result of this, it's producing betrayal. It's producing offense. And many is hating one another. Okay? We're going to elaborate more on that. But then, of course, false prophets shall arise, be deceived, and deceive many. That's happened since the time of the early church. And Peter warned, he said, just as there was false prophets in their day, there will be false prophets in our day. And Jesus said, you'll know them clearly by their fruits. We shall know them. So I don't really want to home in tonight on false prophets, because most of us understand that. We understand that concept. We understand these principles. We understand that there's going to be false prophets, and these are signs of the coming of the Lord. And listen to this. Because iniquity shall abound. If you don't think iniquity is abounding, again, go look on social medias, go social media outlets, go turn on your television, go out in public. My goodness, you can't even go to a Walmart anymore without looking over your shoulder for some nut that's going to come in with a gun and try to shoot up people. I don't know what the deal is with Walmart, but everybody seems to want to do everything crazy at Walmart. But I'm telling you, you can't even go to the supermarket. You can't even go out to eat. You can't even go grocery shopping. You can't go to a movie theater. You can't do anything anymore. I just had this conversation. I was at an auto shop getting some maintenance done on my car, and I was talking to an older gentleman that was in his late 60s, and him and I had a 20-minute conversation about his generation versus my generation and about my son's generation. And we talked about the progression of generations and how, and in his generation, they could sleep with their windows open, they could leave and go uptown, and they could leave their doors unlocked, their windows unlocked. They would let their kids go out, and their kids could go out and play in the neighborhood, and they'd be gone all day long riding their bikes and playing in the yard, playing at the playground, and their parents wasn't worried sick over them. They knew that they were going to come back, and they may get scuffed up and fall down and scuff up their knee, but they would come home safely, and that was in their generation. And then you had my generation, and it was kind of like that. It was getting a little bit rough, and iniquity was present, but it wasn't as dark as it was. But then we fast forward, and we come to 2019, and we come to my son's plural, because I have two. I have an 11-year-old and a 4-year-old, and now we come to their generation, and My goodness, it is. If you think for 1 minute that I'm going to go uptown and leave my door unlocked or my garage door open or my back door open, or if you think I'm going to let my kids go out and just roam the street and not know where they're at, you got another thing coming. Because we don't live back in the 1940s and the 1930s and the 1920s and the 1960s anymore. What I'm trying to tell you is iniquity is abounding. It is increasing. It is getting darker and it is getting worse year after year, generation after generation. And as a result of this, the Lord said, the love of many shall wax cold. Now we always, when we read this, we generally want to interpret this as the world. The love of the world is growing cold. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. It's not just the world who's growing cold. It's the church. It's the body of Christ. It's the brothers and sisters that name the name of Christ, that call themselves Christians. Their love is growing and waxing cold. All right, and then we'll get to verse 13. Now let's get to this. Okay, a while back, a very popular author, popular evangelical bestseller of the book I Kiss Dating Goodbye, Joshua Harris declared that he was kissing his Christian faith goodbye. He announced this on Instagram. I don't know what it is about Instagram, but I guess that's where they announce their departure from their faith. But again, both Joshua Harris and Marty Sampson both announced on Instagram that they were basically departing from the faith. I'm just going to read this quote. Quote, days after Joshua Harris announced via Instagram that he and his wife would be permanently separating, Harris, known in the early 2000s as something of a relationship guru, said he is, quote, not a Christian anymore. Now, there's some things that I highlighted that I really want to point out in this segment tonight. Now, these are quotes directly from Joshua Harris. Quote, I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. All right, so something's happened in his heart and he's undergoing a massive shift in his faith. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, quote, I am not a Christian. So he did a self-examination. Again, this is the words of Joshua Harris. He did a self-examination and said by the all measurements of, I assume the word of God is where he's assessing this self-examination. He says, by these measurements that I've done, I am not a Christian. Quote, the now controversial author said he is receptive to a, quote, different way to practice his faith. Okay? Though he is admittedly not there now, Harris also used the post to issue a, quote, apology to and to announce his support for the LGBT community. Now, listen to this quote. He credited his new perspectives to his self-righteousness and fear-based approach to life. Now, let me rephrase what he just said here. He's accrediting his departure from his faith to his, quote, self-righteousness and, quote, fear-based approach to life. Now I got to bring this out, guys, on this segment on this broadcast. Here's what I want to show you something. People don't just wake up. Now, listen, I know there's a whole group of individuals out there, and I'm not going to name the denomination, but this whole denomination teaches that if an individual walks away from Christ or they don't believe in backsliding, they don't believe in, even though the word backslide is in the Bible, but they don't believe in backsliding. They don't believe that you can fall away. They don't believe that you can turn from the truth and that you can fall away from the truth, even though 1 Timothy 4 4 says that many shall depart from the faith and give heed, or they shall embrace seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But they do not believe that, even though there is strong biblical evidence that an individual can come to Christ, know Christ, serve Christ, walk in the Lord, and then through circumstances of life or whatever may come, their heart can become calloused. They can get hurt. They can get wounded. They can get offended. Remember Matthew 24, many shall be offended. And as a result of that, they can begin to backslide. Their heart becomes cold. They no longer have a desire to be in the body of Christ. They begin to isolate themselves. This is how backsliding doesn't start. Listen, here, this is what backsliding is not. You're not on fire today and you wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I'm going to walk away from God. It never, ever happens that way. Let me say that again. It never, ever happens that way. Backsliding, by the way, I believe in backsliding, in case you haven't caught that. Backsliding does not happen overnight. It is a progression. Just like you getting saved, you think that you just went down, you just think you showed up one day to a conference, or you showed up to a church service, or you just happened to watch a broadcast and you just happened to get saved. No. It was a process. You may not know it. You may not understand it. You may not comprehend it, but it was a process. Somebody somewhere has been praying for you. They've been planting seed in your heart. And that seed has been watered. They one sowed, one watered, and God gave the increase. It just so happened that it happened in your chronos of time, but it seemed to you as a kairos or a suddenly. Now, in our time frame, it was a suddenly, but this was a progression. Now, here's what happens. Things happen in people's lives. You need to clean out your ears on this segment. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Every individual is subject to this. Every individual is susceptible to this. We can all be candidates to this. We can all fall victim to this. We can all fall prey to this. There is no one listening under the sound of my voice. I don't care your age. I don't care your color. I don't care your maturity in the Lord. I don't care if you've been in the church, you own the church, your name's on the church, you built the church, or your mama and daddy run the church, or you pastor the church. We are all susceptible to backsliding, to getting hurt, getting wounded, getting offended, getting bitter. Circumstances happen. Come on, somebody say this with me. Life happens. And as a result of it, it's not one brick. Come on, it's not one brick. It's like the saying I heard one time. It's like if you had an old gutter and water would come and it would run off the gutter, and the water would trickle down and it would hit a piece of concrete. The water drops would fall and it would hit the concrete, and it would hit it overnight. Doop, 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 doop. And you go out there the next day, everything looks the same and it's still dripping. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And then eventually it dries up. Guess what? The concrete is still the same. It's just a little bit of stain from moss. It's just a little bit of stain from the residue that's left over from the rain, from the rainwater, from the mud, and from the rust, and from the elements there. But it's still intact. But guess what? Over time, over a process of time, more rain comes, more drops fall. They fall on the concrete. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, and then it increases and increases and increases. Now, all of a sudden, you forget about it, and then one day you come back out there, and lo and behold, you look at the same piece of concrete a year from now, 2 years from now, and all of a sudden it starts, the water drops that didn't do anything initially over time of erosion, time and erosion of the same consistent drops hitting This concrete has caused erosion on the concrete, and what was once sustainable, what was once intact, has now begun to crack. It's now begin to deteriorate, and eventually it will actually split it. And you say, how did this happen? Again, it didn't happen overnight. It took a process of time. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Let's start with Joshua Harris before we get over to Marty Sampson. What is going on with this man? What has happened to him did not happen overnight. It was the constant drops, the constant drips, the constant battles. We don't know what's going on in this man's life. Now, I got a strong rebuke for many Christians that may be listening this tonight. But you probably won't stick around because you don't want to hear that. Because you don't like correction. You don't like rebuke. You don't like that stuff. You're not used to hearing that at your church. You're used to hearing feel good, sugary, pat you on the back. Come on, make you feel good sermons and never bring correction and never bring rebuke. But if you'll hang on for a second, I want to talk to everybody. Listen to this podcast, listen to this YouTube segment, listen to this Facebook segment. Before we point our bony fingers and put our glasses at the end of our noses and look down on another brother or sister, before we take out our gavel and proclaim judgment over somebody, let me just read on here. Let me read this again. He goes on and says, quote, here's what he says. He credits his departure from his self-righteousness and his fear-based approach. Chances are, obviously, he got around some individuals that were, did you know the Pharisees were extremely self-righteous? In fact, there's a story in the New Testament where a Pharisee walked into a temple and a sinner, a heathen, an unregenerated man walks into the same temple, church. Come on, let's use modern vernacular, okay? They both walk in the same church. The Pharisee walks in and he starts, he hears his prayer to God. God, I thank you that I'm not like this joker over here. I'm glad I'm not like this sinner over here. I'm glad I fast 3 days a week and I tithe and I'm a faithful I have a faithful attendance here at the church, and I'm Mr. Big Shot, and I'm the deacon here. I'm the associate here. I'm in the choir team here. I've got the top parking lot here. Everybody knows my name here. I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. But then the Bible says that the sinner walked in and couldn't even as much lift up his head to look up, and started beating on his chest, falls to his knees and says, oh God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner in need of salvation. And your Bible says that Jesus asked the question, who do you suppose was more, come on, who do you suppose was more righteous or more in right standing, rather, before God? Was it the self-righteous Pharisee, or was it the man that pleaded for mercy and grace, come on, from the presence of the Lord? And your Bible says that Jesus didn't point at the Pharisee. He pointed to the man who was beaten on his chest and saying, that man is the picture of mercy and grace. Your Bible says a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord is near unto. He runs to it. He clings to it. It's a magnet to him. Not self-righteousness. Okay? Now listen what he's... I want to point out some. Harris also used the post... let me read on here. It says, quote, he said, I want to say that I'm sorry for the views that I taught in my books and as a pastor regarding sexuality. He continued, quote, I regret standing against marriage equality for not affirming you and your place in the church and for any ways that my writing and speaking contribute to a culture of exclusion and bigotry. Now I do want to say this. I can't change the Bible. The Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, do you not know that the ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he lists what will not enter the kingdom of God. So, unfortunately, I disagree with Joshua on this stance. As far as, now, the bigotry, what do we define that as? What is bigotry? What does he define? Now, if he's defining bigotry as, quote unquote, believers standing on street corners with bullhorns and megaphones screaming at the top of their lungs at men and women who are living in abominations and practicing abominable lifestyles, if he's talking about those individuals, those Christians standing with bullhorns and megaphones screaming at the top of their lungs that they're going to split hell wide open and calling them all kinds of derogatory terms. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. That gets on my nerves. What are you trying to say, Brother Ricky? I'm trying to tell you that the Bible tells you what sin is. And we are to preach against sin. You know how I roll, guys. This ministry don't water down anything. We preach against sin. If the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. The body of Christ has got to change our methods and our approach. If you think you're going to win somebody to the Lord by getting a megaphone and getting up in their face and screaming at them and calling them derogatory terms, I'm not going to repeat those terms on this broadcast because I don't like them. They're terms for homosexuality and I'm not going to use them. And I don't use them. Because they're very disrespectful. Because I got a news flash for you. Those individuals that are getting screamed at are no different than you and I. Oh, yes, because listen, their sin as well as adultery, fornication, drinking, idolatry, and all these others will get you to hell just as well as any other sin. But see, as Christians, we like to make a scale. And we like to, listen to this, we like to qualify people to make it into the kingdom based on our personal preferences. If it's somebody that we personally like, they could do the same sin as somebody else, and we'll send them to hell, but we will give a pass and give an excuse to the person we like because based on our own personal preference. Come on, if it's a pastor you like, you'll overlook it. If it's a preacher you like, you'll overlook it. If it's an author you like, you'll overlook it. If it's a Christian artist, musician that you like, their music just, it just sings to my soul and it just touches my soul. I know they're not living right for God. And I know they're in fornication and I know they're a drunkard and I know they swear and use four-letter words, but they're just going astray and the Lord just needs to, the Lord will just deal with their heart and we just need to extend grace and mercy. Oh, judge and be not judged, but you'll turn right around, and if it's somebody you don't personally like or you dislike them or you don't like their music, you don't like their book, you don't like how they preach, you don't like how they dress, you don't like the way they comb their hair or their hairstyle, or they may have tattoos, or they may be a part of a denomination that you personally don't like, then, my friends, the stones come out of the woodwork and you're ready to pick up your stones and begin to stone them. After all, they're not worthy of the Lord's mercy or of His grace because, after all, they don't fit your qualifications or your criteria. Come on, I lost some people right there. You can get mad and unsubscribe. I could care less. I'm going to be here tomorrow and I'm still going to keep preaching whether you like it or not. But I'm trying to tell you, listen, it's amazing how militant the church is against homosexuality, but how passive it is against fornication. Woo, let me say it again. It's amazing how militant preachers are and pastors are and evangelists are against homosexuality, but how passive they are against fornication. Oh, we let somebody come into the church that you know, if they're in this kind of sin, we're quick to oust them out of the church and not give them any chance to hear the gospel or give them any grace period. But all you let some of the youth group, oh, after all, we got some youth in our church. Well, brother, pastor, did you know that there's some people in our youth group that are some teenagers that are sleeping around with each other? Oh, well, it's okay. We've all been there. They're teenagers. Again, picking and choosing based on our personal preferences. I'm preaching better than some people are listening tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason I believe why many are departing from the faith. Yes, I know that in the end times, many shall depart from the faith and get heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I know that Paul warned Timothy that he said that perilous times will come and there'll be a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I'm very familiar with the church of Thessalonica, and Paul wrote to them and said that there'll be a falling away or a defection of truth, the apostasy. I am well aware of that, but I'm going to tell you something. Let's talk about what may be producing it or causing it. While we are quick to point our fingers at the individuals that are walking away and falling away, when are we as the body of Christ going to take personal responsibility? What do you mean by personal responsibility? Well, let me go on and we'll talk about it. Quote, I'm going to read the rest of this, guys. Harris suggested his falling away from Christianity played a role in his and his wife's decision to separate, a decision he announced last week. So in other words, when he began to go down this path, that's what caused his marriage to separate. Because the Bible even says, be not unequally yoked with non-believers. So I could see how there'd be a rift. So see, it's a domino effect, guys. What happens in the heart begins to manifest out of the heart, and everything else falls into fall into play with that, with the domino effect. Now let's shift gears and go to yesterday's announcement. According to many reports, Hillsong worship leader Marty Sampson. Now I remember this guy. Guys, I got saved in 2000, and I remember I cut my teeth on some of this guy's worship. Songs like Now That You're Near, King of Majesty, Oh Praise the Name for Who You Are, and Open Heaven. These were songs that came out of Hillsong. Now look, I understand Hillsong has evolved over the years. People think that I'm ignorant and they're blind. I get this all the time on our Facebook page, and they try to accuse me of being blind and being ignorant and being uneducated and not knowing what's going on. Guys, I am perfectly aware. I understand and I see what's going on, and I understand that Hillsong is not the Hillsong that was in 2000 and 1999 with Darlene Check and all them. Guys, but I'm going to tell you, I cut my teeth on that. It holds a special place in my heart, because when I got saved, guys, I'm telling you, you remember Darlene Check's song, Shout to the Lord? I mean, that song was so powerful. And all these songs, Worthy is the Lamb, On Eagle's Wings. I mean, I could name all these songs that was just birthed out of Hillsong. And I cut my teeth on them. I got into some deep places of worship with those things. And I remember this guy, Marty Sampson. As soon as I saw his face, his younger pictures, I said, oh my goodness, I remember this guy. I remember. So my heart just, because I didn't really know who this Joshua Harris guy is, because I didn't have his book. So this was all new to me. But this guy hit home with me, with Marty Sampson, because again, I remembered the music. I remembered that time frame. I remembered how impactful and influential the worship music was, and how influential it was in my walk with the Lord. So my heart, and when I found out this news, let me just read this, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. On On Friday on Instagram, he announced that he's genuinely losing his faith and he's not upset about it. Samson was once of Hillsong's original worship leaders and wrote and co-wrote hundreds of praise songs. And his post, which has since been deleted along with the rest of the artist's Instagram post, he included a picture of what appears to be Samson bringing down the pillars of the Philistine temple on the in Judges chapter 16. He writes that, quote, he writes that the more that he thinks about it, the more Christianity seems just like every other religion. Now, again, guys, there's a reason why he's coming to this conclusion. Let me read this, quote, and he doesn't want any part of it anymore. He's talking about Christianity. Quote, listen what he says here. This is the part that got me, and this is really what I wanted to talk about. Quote, Christians can be some of the most judgmental people on the planet. Amen. That is true. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people on the planet. Absolutely. But it's not for me. Now, here in a minute, in his Instagram post, his heart begins to bleed out. What some of the, remember I talked about the trickles of water that led down. I am not in anymore. Quote, I want genuine truth. Now, this is really sad. This is where my heart begins to ache. He says, I want genuine truth. As to oppose, what has he been exposed to? What has he been presented that is not genuine truth? That's my question. And I'm going to elaborate on that in just a second. When I get to why my opinion of why we're seeing this in a minute at the end of this, I'm going to talk about that point. Not that I, quote, just believe it kind of truth. Science keeps piercing the truth of every religion. Lots of things help people change their lives, not just one version of God, says Samson. Samson also points to apparent contradictions in the Bible and the church as a reason he's leaving the faith. Did you hear that? He says there's apparent contradictions in the Bible. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something. That is a lack of solid teaching and understanding of the Word. Because I'm going to tell you something. I sat under about five mentors and they get deep. Deep. They Greek word studies, Hebrew word studies. We're talking about line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. We're talking about going into the early church fathers. We're talking about sound hermeneutics and theology. We're talking about sound theology. But this kind of implies here that he was getting very shallow word and shallow teaching, which is a indictment of the modern church today. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. Now, watch this. Quote, I'm going to give you a quote and then we're going to talk about this. How many preachers fall, he asked? Many. And no one talks about it. Number two. How many miracles happen? He says, not many. And no one talks about it. Number three, he says, why is the Bible full of contradictions? And nobody talks about it. Number four, how can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place they don't even believe and no one talks about it? So let's talk about these four points real quick. How many preachers fall, he asks, many, and nobody talks about it. Well, Marty, we're talking about it today. Dr. Michael Brown talks about it. Many do talk about it. We notice it. We talk about it. But the problem, Marty, is I understand where you're coming from when you talk about the judgmental Christians, because the problem I see is not that nobody talks about preachers falling, talk about Christians falling, talking about brothers and sisters falling. Oh, they talk about it. Oh, do they talk about it? In fact, they get on social media and they condemn, cut down, come on, kick, it's like wolves and vipers and snakes coming and sharks coming out to finish off those that are bleeding and those that are wounded. So they're talking about it, Marty, but there's no mercy, no forgiveness, no grace, no forgiveness, but all judgment. Words like, well, he deserved it, or he was never saved, or he was a false prophet, or he was a wolf, or he was a goat, or he was a tare, or who cares, or goodbye, or he was never a real Christian. Guys, these are the things. I read these all day yesterday, and I was literally sick to my stomach, and I was in tears, because we, as the body, if this is the majority of the voice of the body of Christ in this hour, then friends, we are absolutely fulfilling Bible prophecy when the Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. Whew. Paul said in the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, yes, just because somebody falls away or they backslide or they fall into sin doesn't mean they were never saved. Let's just destroy that stupid false doctrine. Believers can fall into sin. They can fall short. They can fall away. They can backslide. But listen to what the Apostle Paul instructed the church of Galatia to do when this happens. He says, dear brothers and sisters, this is the New Living Translation. If another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Look, I could just drop the mic right there and just close the broadcast. But instead, we've got all these self-righteous Pharisees. Self-righteous, full of pride, full of arrogance, Pharisees on social media, all over the place, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, they're everywhere. And they want to condemn these men and women, those who are falling, those that are hurt. Again, we don't know all that's gone on in these men's lives. We're so quick to judge them. We don't know what heartache they've been through. We don't know what tragedies they've been through. We don't know what disappointments they've been through. We don't know what offenses they've been through. We don't know what hurts, what wounds, what disappointments, what discouragements. We don't know them at all. But yet we're quick to make a judgment based on their failure. And we're quick to call them this and call them that and say they were never this and they were never that. Who do you think you are? How about this? What if you stepped down from your throne and actually did what Paul said? And if you see this individual, oh, wait a minute, I think I've read that somewhere. That's right. In Matthew 18, 12 through 13, it says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go out to search for the one that's lost? And if he finds it, he says, I tell you the truth, he'll rejoice over it more, over the 99 that didn't wander away. Well, I tell you what, who cares about these people that are falling away? They deserved it. They're pansies. They can't hold up. They can't hold on. They can't endure to the end. But by God, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Well, good for you, sir. Since you're so mighty and so strong, why don't you pour out into the next generation and encourage them and exhort them and tear and share with them your bits of wisdom on how you're still standing through your trials, how you're still standing through your tribulation, how you're still standing with your marriage still intact, how you're still standing with your finances that were about to crumble and you're still standing. Why don't you, instead of being self-righteous and pointing your finger down at somebody and sending them to hell and and finishing them off. Why don't you step down from your throne, get your hands dirty, and say, brother, I know what it's like. I've been where you've been. I almost wanted to throw in the towel. I was about to call it quits. I know what it's like to get hurt by another Christian. I know what it's like to not get a phone call. Nobody cares. Nobody comes and visits you. The pastor don't even care and acknowledge your presence. I know what it's like when your family is sick in the hospital and somebody's dying and laying on the deathbed, and here you've been a church member for 2 years and no one wants to come and visit them. They don't know your name. They don't know your phone number. They don't know how many kids you've gotten. You've been there for 2 years. They don't acknowledge that you've been there on Sunday morning, or if you've not been there on Sunday morning, you're just another number. You're another tithe. You're another offering. You're another nickel and you're another nose. I know what it's like. I understand. And I would go as far as to say that if I did not have a strong foundation in the Lord, I would have left the church a long time ago, because the church is so full of such arrogance, self-righteousness, hateful, and angry believers. And I use the word believers lightly. I know you can't see me on podcast, but there's air quotes going up here. John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. But if you take the social media and you cut down and destroy, brothers and sisters, you are not a disciple of Jesus. I don't care if you can quote Hebrew, or you can say Jesus' name in 13 different languages and Hebrew names, and you can say Yeshua and El Shaddai and El this and El that. That doesn't impress me, and it don't impress the Lord either. If you can't even show love for people, then you know what the Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. You can prophesy. You can operate in spiritual gifts. You can do all these things, but you're nothing but a bunch of noise. You're a clanging cymbal. Yada, 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 yada. Nobody wants to hear anything you got to say, because you can't love people. You can't pray with them. You can't have mercy upon people. You can't extend grace to people. Well, you sound like you're fired up. I am. I've wept over this, because I know how many people has left the church and they won't go back in a church because of this right here. Because of this right here. Number one, how many preachers fall? He asked. Many. And nobody talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. Not true, Marty. They're happening. They may not be happening in America, but they're happening. They may not be on Facebook, but they're happening. They're happening all the time. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all. I've seen people be healed of cancer. I've seen it. I know it. I know people that's been healed. There's miracles all the time. Listen, if miracles ain't happening in your church, Marty, get out. Go somewhere where they are happening. My goodness. That leads me to, I got to talk about this before I miss this point. Holy Ghost, just lead me into this thing. One of the reasons why we're losing a generation and we're losing Christians and people are falling away is because of the very thing that Paul said. He said that we're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power. He says, from such turn away. Guys, I am using Paul's advice. Look, I know I'm going to offend some pastors here today. If you're a pastor and you're watching this, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but I don't. I don't apologize. I am, but I don't. But I'm just being real with you. If your church don't believe in miracles, it doesn't operate in miracles, it's never seen a miracle, or it's been 40 years since you've seen a miracle, I don't want to be a part of your church. Don't want to be in your church. I don't want to go to your church, because I don't want to end up 20 years from now going through the motions, going through the same programs, through the same rituals, day in, day out, week after week, week after week. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting delivered. There's no miracles happening. Blind eyes are not opening. Deaf ears are not opening. Cancer's not being healed from people. Sicknesses are not being healed from people. People are not seeing the demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. Friends, listen, I made up my mind. I've drawn a line in the sand. As for me and my household, I'll just keep looking until I find, whether it's a church, a brick and mortar church, whether it's a home church, whatever it is, I will keep looking until I find a church that believes and operates in signs, wonders, miracles, and healings today. I refuse. My heart bleeds and it grieves and it is broken over so many, and I'm not going to name people by name, but I've got even friends that I once knew, I once went to church with, I broke bread with, and they believed in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. They have compromised and they have settled for normal church and normal Christianity. And what do I mean by normal church and normal Christianity? I'm talking about they show up Sunday morning. And they will get three songs, they'll get a point, they'll get a poem, they'll get a good sermonette, and they'll send them home, and there's no transformation, no deep revelation, there's no healing, no signs, no wonders, and no miracles. And because of that, listen, this is what's producing this. Number one, he says, how many miracles are happening? He says, not many, no one's talking about it. Well, of course there's not. If you're going to a church where they don't even believe in miracles, you're not going to see a miracle. And that's the problem with most of the church today, is sensationism, which teaches that the power of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all that has been done away with in the fourth century. Do you know how many churches and denominations are grasping that and believing that concept and now are operating that? And as a result, friends, we've got saints that are dying in the church of something they can get healed of if the church would believe and operate in the Word of God, lay hands on the sick that they should recover. All right? Then the fact that he says, the Bible full of contradictions, this is an indictment of shallow teaching of the church today. The church is teaching shallow word, feel good sermonettes, that it gets you emotionally charged and motivates you. It's self-help messages. They're self-help motivational messages, but there's no deep revelation. There's no transformation. And because of that, people are falling away. Even the Word of God says, be rooted and grounded in the Word of truth that you may not be blown by every wind of doctrine. Friends, I know too much of this that even if I try to backslide, listen to me, hear my heart for a second. I know so much of this word now that even if I tried to backslide, I'm going to be miserable every hour that I'm trying to come on. I'm going to be like Peter. I may be around a campfire and cussing some folks and getting around some folks that are drinking and go to some parties. But I'm going to tell you, on the inside of me, there's going to be a war on the inside of me, because the Spirit, come on, the seed of the Word of God, once it's planted in you, no man could take that seed out. So the Holy Spirit on the inside of me is going to be grieved. He's going to be vexed. He's going to be quenched. He's going to be crying out. But the flesh of me is trying to run from God, but the Spirit of me is trying to run back to God. And the concoction of this, the culmination of this, produces discouragement. It produces discontent. You're going to be miserable. So this is what I'm talking about. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? It's not. You're receiving shallow teaching somewhere. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people all because they don't believe to a place? He's talking about hell here, obviously. And listen, God don't send anyone to hell. That's the dumbest thing I've ever. Well, you know, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? He doesn't. You send yourself there. The Bible says that hell itself was created for the devil and his angels. That was the original intent of hell. But when mankind chose to rebel against the Creator and they take sides with Lucifer and the fallen angels, then God has no choice but to allow them to go to the same location, the same judgment, the same eternal resting place, which is a total separation from Him. God never sends anybody to hell. They willfully choose to walk away from Him. Hello? Or they choose to reject the gospel. Does this make sense to anybody? Okay? So, It just blows my mind. Nobody's talking about it. Yes, they are. Friends, just because they're not talking about it at your church don't mean they're not. Well, nobody's talking about end times. Well, we are. Nobody's preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are. And not just us, but there's a remnant. There's always a remnant. Just because they don't preach on the end times at your church don't mean they don't preach on somebody else's. Just because they don't preach on sin at your church don't mean that somebody else ain't preaching on it. What I'm trying to say is ask, seek, and knock. Listen, I believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. My heart is broken and I'm grieved. So there's so many ways that we could close out this broadcast tonight. But I believe it would be an injustice for me to not close out this broadcast without praying for these individuals and everybody else. Listen, Joshua and Marty is a picture of thousands. I venture to say thousands of other believers that we may never know because they're not famous. They're not on Christian television. They're not on a Christian magazine. They're not in mainstream Christian music or whatever the case. They may not be an artist. They may not be an author. And we may never know who they are. But listen, week after week, Christians just like Joshua and just like Marty, who have been hurt, they've been wounded, they're going through circumstances, they're going through life, just things have hit them one after another, after another, after another. And the real question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond to them as a church? We've got a real problem here, guys. The number one reason why I believe many people are falling away from the church is because of the attitude of the body of Christ when people do fall away, when they do backslide, when they're not at church some days, when you don't see them show up to prayer meeting, when you see that they're struggling, when you see that they fall into sin, what is our attitude? How do we respond to them? And number two, it's because we've lost the core values of what makes the church. Repentance, the doctrinally sound gospel, the blood of Jesus, love, the love of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Ghost. All these things are being stripped away by the enemy, systematically coming in and convincing preachers, convincing pastors, convincing churches that they can just strip all these things away. And as long as we entertain the sheep, then we'll just get them in. The noses and nickels is all they care about. The problem is, the more we keep entertaining, I saw one of my friends posted this today on Facebook. The more we entertain, the more we try to keep them with the entertainment, before long, we're going to be desiring a ringleader, a ringmaster. And that's who we're going to want behind the pulpit to keep our flesh tickled and entertained. So this is twofold, guys, and I'm seeing this. So listen, I'm asking that you would join with me, and we're going to pray for all the Martys out there. Not just Marty Sampson, but all the other Martys, all the other Joshuas out there, and all the other, the Jessicas, and the Brittanys, and the Melissas, and the Sandys, and the brothers and the sisters that have fallen away. They've been wounded, they've been hurt, whatever. We don't know. We don't know what's going on in their lives. And before we're quick to judge them, why can't we be as what Paul said in the church to the church of Galatia? If we're more spiritual, it's time we lift our hand. If you know somebody, if you're listening to this podcast, watching this by YouTube or watching by Facebook, and you know someone who is a believer, a brother, a sister, and you've not seen them in church, they've fallen away from church, they may be in your family, they may be a neighbor, they may be a coworker, but you know them and you've had a relationship with them, and they've backslid. Listen, it's time you leave the 99 and go find them. Give them a phone call. Go at their door. Knock on their door. If you say, well, they're at a bar, go to the bar and find them. Go down to the club and get them. Go take them out to eat. Go treat them out to go out to eat. Go take them to a ball game and pay for it. Go bless them. Go love on them. Talk on them. Why? Because It's time that we lift up our hand. Listen what it says. You who are more godly should gently and humbly help them back onto the right path. You've got a choice. We've got a choice tonight. Father, we pray for every individual, Lord. We pray for the Martys. We pray for the Joshuas that are out there right now that have gone astray. They've been hurt. They've been wounded. They backslid. They're walking away from the faith, walking away from God, walking away from the God of their childhood, walking away from the Word, walking away from their ministry, walking away from it all. They're turning their back on God. But God, I thank you that you're not intimidated by their actions, because I'm reminded of the prodigal son who took his inheritance. He turned his back on the father and he ran and lived in prodigal living. But your word says that the day came when he was in the pig pen, when he was knee deep in the filth, he came to his senses and he ran back home. And the word of the Lord says that the father was already standing halfway to meet him with his arms wide open to embrace him back into the fold, embrace him back into the kingdom. And Lord, that is a picture of you, Heavenly Father. You are already waiting for Marty. You're already waiting for Joshua. And all they got to do is come to their senses. And the day that they come to their senses and turn around and run back to the kingdom, run back to your loving arms, Father, you're going to embrace them. But Lord, how dare us be the prodigal son's brother and be like the one in whom was jealous and became discontent and became angry? But instead, we should be as the Heavenly Father and rejoice and get the fatted calf and get the robe and get the staff and get the sandals and say and have in our hearts jubilation and say the one that was went astray has now come back to the fold. So Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would seek out and find these men of God, these individuals, these women, these men, all those that are out there that fit this criteria. If you're watching by Facebook, watching by YouTube, listening by podcast, and maybe in your heart, you can relate to Marty, you can relate to Joshua, and you're about to throw in the towel. You're about to call it quits. You're about to walk away from the church. You're about to walk away from it all because of some circumstance, because of some hateful, arrogant, judgmental, self-righteous Pharisees in the church, or because you're not seeing miracles, you're not seeing signs and wonders and miracles, you're not seeing these things, yet you read about them and you become so discontent, discouraged, and disappointed that you're about to call it quits. Friends, I plead with you today to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, because wherever there is that, there is going to be the authentic. There's going to be real, loving, genuine, forgiving, merciful, and gracious Christians that will love you, that will embrace you, that will exhort you, will edify you, and will help you get back on your feet. Wherever there's a church that's powerless, there's going to be a church that's full of power. Where there's a church that don't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles, there's going to be a church that believes in casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and raising the dead. Where there's a church that don't believe in heaven and hell, there's going to be a church that preaches hell is hot and heaven is waiting. Friends, the devil always has a counterfeit, but God has an authentic. There is the real deal. You just got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking and you got to keep knocking. And he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh shall find, and he that knocketh, the door shall be opened unto him. And Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this mighty word. I pray that you'd anoint it. I pray that you would seal it. I pray that it would not return void, but it would equip, establish, and prosper that in which it's sent forth to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I just want to take this time to quickly thank everybody that's watching and listening today, either by podcast, by YouTube, or by Facebook Live. We really appreciate you jumping onto the broadcast. And if you'd like to know more about our ministry, if you'll just hang on when we're about to sign out here on podcast and on YouTube, there's going to be some information on how you can become a partner, how you can become a one-time giver or whatever the Lord puts on your heart, how you can subscribe to this ministry, how you can get notifications and push notifications. All that is simply at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, all that information is right there under the link. If you click on that link right there where it says support and follow, if you click on that link, it's going to take you to our main website, and all that information is available for you to be able to do as the Lord puts on your heart. So we appreciate you guys. We love you. Listen, we're going to sign off, and we're going to be back on here tomorrow, but we're going to be off. We're going to be on here Wednesday, but we will not be on here Thursday or Friday. We've got family coming in out of town, and we're going to spend some quality time with family. How many knows that that's a good thing? We should be, you know, we need to spend time with our family. So we're going to be doing that the latter part of this week. So we're going to hit it today. We're going to hit it tomorrow. And again, we'll be off Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and we'll be back on next week. So looking forward, Lord willing, to be back on here tomorrow and be with you guys with another segment. God bless. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.